During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
First and 10, shotgun snap, left tackle blocked by Brown, moving up is Mahomes, hit as he throws, wobbly throw, but grabbed, it was a dying duck, it was caught by the tight end.
Oh, Mahomes is limping.
Oh my goodness, holding onto his right ankle, bending down, holding onto his right ankle, now bending over in excruciating pain and leaning on his knees, his white pants already soaked with mud and dirt and wet here in the slick conditions. He got hit hard on the play, and his right ankle got under somebody's knee, right? Am I right on that, Trent?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It looks like the weight's coming down on it, and it's as he's going through the ground, defender falls on that right outside part of the leg. They're stopping play here.
And the new quarterback, Chad Henne, first and 10, and a quick throw out of the end zone, caught by the tight end, Kelsey, grabbed there on the hash and picks up six on that short first down throw by Chad Henne. Empty backfield, and Henne will backpedal in the gun from the one at Jacksonville. Second down and goal. Pointing out his protections. McKinnon in motion. Shotgun snap. Quick throw. Goal line caught. Spinning. Touchdown. Kelsey. 1 yard touchdown run. Kelsey, his second touchdown catch today. And the Chiefs extend their lead before halftime.
One thing doesn't change with this offense is Travis Kelsey.
Crowd. Mahomes is back. First and 10 from his own 25, Trent.
Yeah, the crowd is responding the way we thought they would, and we thought maybe he would come back at the end of the first half, but they decided to get some more treatment at halftime, and here he is coming out leading the charges in the open up the second half.
There's no shortcut home. There's no easy way out.
McKinnon, the running back, in motion. Shotgun snap to Mahomes. Left tackle block. Moves up. Messy pocket. Throws in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Underneath the crossbar by Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Leaping high. His glove snatched that ball out of the air. A 6-yard touchdown pass. And the Chiefs now lead by 9 with confetti in the air. And the lead was 7:08 to go. And the extra point coming up as Mahomes again hobbles to the sideline. Trotting to the ball, swings his leg through, it's end over end, it bounces, it's slippery, but it was fallen upon by Kadarius Toney of the Chiefs, and that's going to do it. Chiefs are going to get the onside kick recovered at the 46-yard line. Jacksonville can't stop it, and the Chiefs are going to go to the AFC Championship game for the fifth consecutive year.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Monday, January 23rd, 2023. Stephen St. John, and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. And that's right, the Chiefs have advanced to the AFC Championship game for the fifth consecutive year. And for the fifth consecutive year, the AFC Championship game will be played at Arrowhead Stadium. After the Chiefs beat the Jaguars 27-20 on Saturday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. And the Chiefs will take on the Cincinnati Bengals after they beat down the Buffalo Bills 27-10 in the snow in Buffalo yesterday. And so it's a rematch of last year's very disappointing AFC Championship game. But it's also a chance at revenge, a chance at redemption for the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes probably won't be 100%. But the Chiefs can and will win this football game. Saturday was... Man, there's so many storylines out of that football game that we could take and run with. And obviously the biggest one is Patrick Mahomes suffering the high ankle sprain and coming back and helping lead this team to a victory. But really, when you look back at this game, or when I look back at this game, I think about three drives that, I mean, in their own way, were spectacular, were wonderful, and three drives that we could talk about and what they meant to this football game. The first one was the opening drive for the Chiefs. After the Chiefs forced Jacksonville to punt, the Chiefs took the field, the offense took the field and went 12 plays, 83 yards, 6 minutes, and of course it culminates with a Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce touchdown pass to put the Chiefs up 7-0. They looked fantastic. The Chiefs offense looked terrific. And I still feel like on that day, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't suffer the high ankle sprain, the Chiefs are on the way to, I don't know, putting up 35, 42 points, and maybe not a blowout, but having a much more comfortable win than they had against the Jags on Saturday. Because I thought the Chiefs, they came out, and that offense, that's as good as it looked. It was a clinic, and they made it look so easy. And I was very, and even look, hey, the Jags answered with a touchdown. The Jags were never going to be able to outscore the Chiefs, especially with 100% Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't going to happen. They're not built like that. They're not ready for that yet. All right, they're not ready for that heat. And so the Chiefs, I believe, were on their way to a very impressive victory. They were going to cover. They were going to punch Jacksonville in the mouth repeatedly. Jacksonville may have answered the first couple of rounds, but ultimately they'd have got knocked out. And you know, and then it happened. And I don't... I mean, I can't even tell you what was going through my mind and how I felt when Patrick Mahomes got hurt. It looked bad. It looked terrible. And it looked bad enough where your mind could wander. I mean, was that his knee? Did he just pop a ligament in his knee? Was that his ankle? Did he break something? Look, all you have to do is go back to yesterday's game between Dallas and San Francisco. And there was a very similar injury suffered by running back Tony Pollard of the Dallas Cowboys. They even said it when it happened. Oh, that's a lot like, it wasn't exactly like it, but it was close enough to where they made the comparison. Oh, that's a lot like what happened to Patrick Mahomes yesterday. And later we find out Pollard suffered a fractured left fibula that's going to require surgery. Now imagine that. That's how close this was. very similar looking injuries. Not exactly the same. And clearly these two guys aren't built the same way, but very similar looking injuries. And so, of course, like that result of what happened to Pollard is going through my mind and going, I'm sure, through everybody else's minds. It's either at the game or watching the game. You know, and he couldn't even move to hand the football off. I mean, it looked bad. And then you see him on the sideline. For those of us who are watching it on TV, you see that he doesn't want to come out of the game, and he's arguing with the trainer. He's arguing with Andy Reid, and you know what they're telling him? No, you got to go. We got to take a look at this. You got to go back and get this X-ray. And Mahomes didn't want to get an X-ray, and he even admitted he was nervous. He didn't know. Like, you know, how many times have you done something to yourself? Like, oh, God, I hope I didn't tear something. I hope I didn't break something. I've suffered ankle injuries. Like, I've torn ligaments in my ankle 4 different times. I've dislocated an ankle. I've broke my ankle. I've been, when I was younger, I was in, seems like they don't put people in casts anymore. But actual casts, I was in a cast 3 different times for my ankle. Which was, I mean, god awful when you're a teenager, right? I mean, that's not nothing, you know. I've popped ligaments, I've torn off, I've done everything you can do with an ankle. And so, but you're sitting there, you know, and I'm sure Mahomes, like, you know, the adrenaline's going, you know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know if something's torn. He doesn't know. He doesn't want to go back. He wants to get out there and play, and you see how bad he wants to play. But you can't let him go out there and play because if it's bad or if he could suffer further damage, I mean, you got to protect the franchise. You got to find out. You got to find out. And Andy Reid's like, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you're not going to go back out there until we get this checked out, until we get an X-ray. And so now, and you see Mahomes throw his coat down, and he's pissed off, and he's got to go back into the locker room. And then what are we all thinking? Like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then eventually when he comes back out, he doesn't go back into the game. And you're thinking, oh, he's back on the sideline. Go back in the game. And Henny's still like, oh, Jesus. They told him he can't go back in the game. But he's on the sideline. That's not good. That's not good. How come he's not going back in the game? Oh, they must have already ruled him out. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And then the Chiefs' Twitter account tweets out, questionable return. Like, oh, that really clears it up. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. So then the second drive that stands out to me that defines that football game, Chad Henne. And, man, I've been one of the people, get a developmental quarterback. Get some young guy that you can groom. And if Mahomes were ever to miss several games, might give you a better chance to win. And every year they bring this old guy back. Like, why do they keep bringing Henne back? And then we saw what he did in that divisional playoff game against the Browns when he sealed that victory. But he's getting up. He's been in the league 15 years. Like, man, they really must like him. Even, like, remember how good Matt Moore looked when he had some time as quarterback for the Chiefs. And you're thinking, why do they like Henne more than Matt Moore? How come he's not the backup? I don't know. Don't you ever question Chad Henne again for the rest of your life. And if you're wondering if I'm talking to you, yeah, I'm talking to you. You. Me. This guy, and we can't ever forget this, this man named Chad Henne goes into the game. He don't know if he's in the game for the rest of the game. He don't know if Patrick Mahomes is out for the game, out for the year, out for the quarter. He don't know. All he knows is I got to go out there and I got to do something to help this football team. And he goes out there. Oh, hey, what kind of field position am I going to have? What do you got for me? You're going to start the drive at the 2. Now get out there. Get out there and do something. First play, pass. We got faith in you. And then Big Red, hey, I'm not trying to be funny. I saw the meme you sent me, and I'd already been thinking that. It's not a shot at anyone. It's just I feel like Big Red was like, Alex Smith playbook, activate! And that was a masterful job of play calling. That was a masterful job of coming off the bench and not making a mistake and making the plays that were there and guiding that football team down the field. And that was a masterful job of Isaiah Pacheco, who should have got the ball more, running his little ass off. I mean, look, he's like, when he runs, he's like, I mean, I don't know what, he's like a little, you know, when a toddler first starts running, like, he's like a bundle. I love watching him run. And that one where he almost broke it for the touchdown. I mean, look, he went into another gear. So he deserves massive credit. 98-yard drive. While we are all sick of our stomachs, wondering what's to become of Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne goes out there with Isaiah Pacheco and everyone else, and they drive 98 yards for a touchdown.
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
And we're like, wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Maybe they can win this game without Mahomes if they have to. I don't want them to. I don't want to find out. But anything is possible. Chad Henne, that's fantastic. And, you know, all this time he's on the field getting first down to the others, that's giving the Chiefs time to evaluate Patrick Mahomes, do what they got to do. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. X-ray. Are they testing him out? Are they injecting his ankle with enough drugs that would make El Chapo blush? I don't know what they're doing. But they're doing something. Whatever they're doing, get him ready, hopefully. And then when he goes back in, we're like, oh, here's Patrick Mahomes. He's all right. He's back in the game. But then, like, he don't look right. I don't know if I like this. It was like over an hour of real time in between plays for him. And we're watching, like, should he be in this game? Then it's back to, oh, no. This is going to make me sick. Why is this happening right now? Am I about ready to say they need to put Henne back in the game? And you know, no. You ride with Patrick. And this damn game is 20-17. And you're like, this is it. I mean, this is it. What I mean, if you're ever gonna pull a drive out of your rear, this is the time to do it right now. And I'll be damned if a hobbled Patrick Mahomes doesn't drive that football team down the field. And this is the third drive we'll talk about. On one leg, in the fourth quarter, a three-point game, the season on the line, a trip to the AFC Championship game on the line, in tremendous pain, drive the football down the field and score a touchdown. That wasn't the end of the game. That was pretty damn close. And then to see his teammates kind of pick him up off the ground and carry him off, and you're like, how did he throw that football to MBS? You look at the replay, he's hopping and jumping and skipping and throwing. And then we're all like, I love that man. Patrick effing Mahomes. That's a legacy game. Now, there's a game now we look back when it's the Hall of Fame induction, whenever, just we look back. Remember the game where Mahomes had the high ankle sprain and we didn't know he was going to come back, and Chad Henne had a 98-yard drive, then the fourth quarter, three-point game, and Mahomes drove the effing football team down the field and scored a touchdown? Yeah, I remember. That was awesome. Hopefully, that's a story that ends with, yeah, and then they went and won the Super Bowl. Then they got revenge against Cincinnati, and they won the Super Bowl. Other things happened after that to seal the game, but then the Chiefs won 27-20. But man, three drives. With the way the Chiefs looked when they came out, they looked like they were going to kick some ass. But then the drive by Chad Henne, which cannot ever be forgotten, that was fantastic. He held things together when we were all falling apart. Can you? I can't imagine. I was falling apart at a damn watch party. I couldn't handle myself. And this guy's going out there like, I haven't played really at all. Season on the line. Put it on my shoulders. Let's go 98 yards. Bada beam, bada boom, bada whatever. Bam, touchdown. He earned, what are they paying, $2 million? He earned $10 million on that drive. Give me Clark Hunt, dig in them pockets and give Chad Henne another $2 million. Just for blanks and giggles.
Tell them to bring me my money.
And then Patrick Mahomes with the legacy drive. And that was it. And now the Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game, hosting the AFC Championship game for the fifth consecutive year. Oh, so many emotions. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Nate. We'll talk to Marco. We're going to hear some post-game sound. We're going to play clips from Frank Clark repeatedly all day long because he got dog in him. And yeah, he had another playoff sack. Playoff Frank is back. A shark eating their ass up. I don't know. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Here's a handoff. Pacheco breaks free, 40. Foot race on the near sideline, 30. A foot race down the near sideline, 20, 10. Running inside the 5 and knocked out just shy of the pylon to the 3. Pacheco directed over the tackle on the left side, bounced outside, and he deceptively got 3 and racing down the near sideline for 40, and it's a first and goal for the Chiefs, who began at their 2, now at the Jacksonville 3.
Nate, before you give your thoughts on the game and my opening rant, I'd like you to get a real flavor for what we're talking about here. I'd like to play the Frank Clark clips back-to-back that I sent you. First, Frank Clark and Chris Jones then on the field with James Palmer. If you remember, Frank Clark does wonderful interviews on the field after playoff games with James Palmer. And so anytime I see that happening, I know that's going to be a must play. Here is Frank, playoff Frank, and then Chris Jones on the field with James Palmer from NFL Network after the game.
Frank, I know you're on the other side of the ball, but I got to ask you, when 15 goes down.
Regroup, Frank.
When 15 goes down, that's likely the MVP of the league. What's going on the sideline when you see him go to the locker room? What are you all thinking?
I mean, the obvious. I mean, our leader, Pat, you know, he's down. Last time we had seen that was Denver Broncos about 2 years ago when the whole stadium in Denver went quiet. And, you know, you don't want to see that for no quarterback, for no player, especially, you know, how sensitive the league has been on these type of things, you know. Pat going down, you know, you don't want to see guys get hurt. You want to see guys compete at a high level but never get hurt. And so, you know, it touched us all. You know, we want the best for him. You know, we want him healthy as possible out there so he can help us win. And, you know, just knowing when we got back to the locker room, we could check on them. We knew everything was going to be all right. It wasn't as serious as, you know, we initially thought. Man, that's the best feeling we can have in the world right there, just knowing our teammate is healthy.
And then Jacksonville makes it 17-20, and Pat comes down and throws a touchdown on one leg. What do you describe your quarterback in terms of toughness?
Man, it's called grit. You know what I mean? It's called grit. You know, it's his determination to want to win no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and he continues to show that. For years he showed that. And, you know, I wouldn't want no other quarterback. I said it before. I'm going to continue to say it, and I'll die by it. And I wouldn't want no other quarterback leading my team and leading this locker room.
Sack Nation, two of you guys talking. This is what you guys want to do in the postseason up front. You get a sack, 2 tackles for loss. What is clicking up front when both you guys are healthy and playing well?
Man, we're running the show. We spoke about it before. You know, when you get to the time of the year, you know who, you know, at the end of the day, who these guys fear, who these guys going to look at, and they're going to look at and be like, man, these guys are coming, you know, day in and day out. We put it down, though. We put the work in. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come to us, you know, 10 times fold. You know, looking forward to the week ahead. Got a different challenge and, you know, short-term memory, like I always say. You know, got to wash this one away and get ready for our opponent next week.
So then real quick, who do you want to win tomorrow? Because if Cincinnati wins, you're playing the AFC Championship game here in Kansas City.
I don't really give a damn. Bring them all.
What do you think of playoff Frank?
Hey, the shark is healthy and we smell blood. You know, there we go. And I love it. I don't really give a damn. That's the perfect answer. Bring him on. That's the right answer. Love Frank Clark and playoff Frank. And he was, man, he was turned up during the game yesterday. That was nice to see.
Updated standings now. Frank Clark has tied Reggie White with 12 postseason sacks, tied for fourth all time behind Willie McGinnis, Bruce Smith, and Terrell Suggs.
And Chris Jones might not have gotten one, but he made a big difference in that game. You know,
we got credit for what, five or six pressures?
Yeah. Yeah. He had something to say about both of those sacks. So he'll get one.
And you know, I talked about those three drives that stuck in my mind. The Chiefs defense.
Oh.
And the Chiefs defense when they were needed came through with big plays.
How about that interception? One-handed, you know, I mean, by a rookie, they go out and they overhaul this defense. They bring in all these rookies, and they're out there making plays in the playoffs.
I mean, how about, speaking of rookies, that seventh-round pick, Isaiah Pacheco.
Woo.
12 carries for 95 yards. 12 carries for 95 yards.
I mean, obviously the biggest play on that drive, the one you talked about with Henny.
By the way, Brett Veach, seventh round, Isaiah Pacheco and Jalen Watson. Good. Oh, boy.
Here you go, Veach. How you like that?
Divisional round. You had a seventh round pick, have 12 carries for 95 yards, and a seventh-round pick with a one-handed game-clenching interception. That's pretty good production from the seventh round, if you ask me.
I agree with you.
I'm not going to, you know.
You're a draft expert.
Yeah, Marco might want to argue that, but I think that's good. That's good return from the seventh round in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Pretty good, pal.
Not as good as return as Brock Purdy's been for the 49ers.
Right,
so.
Right. But it's there. It's close. It's in the ballpark. All right. Lee, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have more Frank Clark. We'll have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, all that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
From the 50, second down and six, shotgun snap and a launching pass down the far side, leaping interception made, Jalen Watson, who falls down to the far sideline at the 31, a backpedaling, leaping interception on the sideline by Kansas City at the 31 of the Chiefs, and it's made by Jalen Watson, a rookie out of Washington State.
I'm sorry. Earmuffs for the kids, maybe. Listen, I'm sorry. But is there anything that can give you a football boner more than Kevin Harlan and Trent Green describing a Chiefs playoff victory? I'm out of here. Hey, it's all just right there for you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Let's play that other Frank Clark credit PJ Green from Fox 4, who tweeted this out. This is, again, Frank Clark in a beautiful purple shirt, by the way, reiterating that he doesn't care who the Chiefs play next week.
Go to Atlanta and stay here.
It don't matter where we go. You already know it's a show. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter to me.
You know,
I'm a dog. They got to fight me anywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? It's a dog fight, man, no matter what's the environment. I zone out, you know, whether it's Chiefs Kingdom, Atlanta, my backyard, you know, somebody got to get it.
Somebody got to get it.
Hey, just remember this. If it's in Frank Clark's backyard, somebody got to get it.
I mean, I've got a football field in my backyard. He can come over and
I don't think you want
fight
that.
Somebody. Not me.
Nope.
I'm on Frank's side.
I don't think you want that at all.
He's on my team.
All right. Anything you'd like to get off your chest about this game, or would you like to hear Frank Clark tell you again that you can get it?
I want to hear both.
Right.
Whatever you want, man. I do have thoughts.
Give thoughts.
Well, look, you talked about those drives, and I was watching the game with my buddy Epler, who is a Chiefs season ticket holder, and we've been to many Chiefs playoff games together because he's been nice enough to invite me with him. And this time we were watching it in the basement of my house.
This isn't a super fan of yours, is it?
He's kind of a super fan. He's a bit of a super fan. So I don't know.
He could probably get it in your backyard, couldn't he?
He probably could. Yeah. Well, people have.
Well,
it's an inside joke.
Right.
Anyway, he's a doctor. And my wife's a physical therapist, as you guys know. We were talking about, like, okay, they were analyzing the ankle and the way he turned it, and, you know, hey, what's the likelihood that he broke it? What, you know, what's going on? And obviously it's all speculation, but they know a little bit more about that kind of stuff than somebody like me and you. And we're talking about it and watching him go out and play in the second half. That drive, at the beginning of that drive, remember, he missed a couple passes, right? Like, there was a wide-open Kelce, and he missed him by, like, 5 feet. And it might have been because weren't on the same page on that play. I don't know. But, you know, like, every time he would limp off the field, he'd be hopping on one leg. And we looked at each other and said, is Patrick Mahomes at whatever percent he's playing right now better than 100% Chad Henne? After we saw Henne, you know, go on that 98-yard touchdown drive. And I said, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I would take him out of the game. I think he's physically, he can't even, like, remember when he turned to give that handoff to Pacheco? He, like, hopped on one leg all the way back to him.
Yeah.
And I think even the announcers were saying, you know, he can't even get back to the handoff point as quickly as he needs to. And that blew up the running play. Because he can't put any pressure. He can't really plant that leg. And that's his back foot when he's throwing the ball. So, like, if he's going to try to plant that foot and really drive a ball down the field, he can't do it. I mean, the touchdown pass, he jumped off his front foot and, like, threw it in midair. And so I just thought, and number one, is 50% Mahomes or whatever he's at better than 100% Henne? And number two, is he at risk? Like, what if... He can't protect himself now. Like, he's getting lit up by the, you know, Orlando Brown was not having a great day, I didn't think. And he's under pressure. And the first, you know, like the first drive you talked about where he was so great, he was scrambling around, throwing jump passes, throwing sidearm passes.
It was wonderful.
It was the greatest. It was again, Mahomes doing stuff you've never seen before. But if he can't run around at all, he can't protect himself. And now is he getting, like, are you putting him at risk of getting blown up and a serious injury down the road? And so I really thought, man, I think I'd take him out of the game. And then, of course, he drives down and scores a touchdown, and I feel stupid. But I think it was that, like you said, he was not right. And it does add to his legacy, the 500 other things he's already done in the five AFC championship games he has quarterbacked. Now, unbelievable. As many as Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers had their entire careers, he's already got to. And you just hope that the training staff is able to work some miracles on that ankle this week. And there's no way he's going to be 100% next week. You just hope he's enough Patrick Mahomes that he's still better than every other quarterback in the NFL.
And I don't know. I'm like grasping at any straw that I could find. Maybe this forces Andy Reid to buckle down. And not that he wouldn't anyway, but devise the game plan of his life that involves, you know, getting the football out quick and just, you know, and really leaning into what the Chiefs have become now, spreading the football around. I don't want to say it, but maybe giving that football to Isaiah Pacheco a little bit more. Ooh. Because there were times in the second half, like, give the ball to Pacheco, please. And they weren't doing it. And you have to have McKinnon in there if you're going to pass, because he's so good at pass protection, right?
especially in that situation. You can't have Patrick taking any more hits.
Right.
And so you want Pacheco out there. But then it gets to the point where Pacheco's out there. It's an obvious running play. But, I mean, they weren't stopping him except that third and one, which there are some issues on third and one. That's one of the things that has you a little bit nervous. But still, lean on Pacheco a little bit more. There are ways now they have. And look, every little thing here with this ankle means something. Every little thing. And so two advantages that are very important. Everything makes a difference, right? The fact that the Chiefs played on Saturday and it gives them an extra day of recovery, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And the fact, think about this. If you got a sprained ankle, you want to go hop on a plane and travel and go to another city and get in the hotel or whatever, whatever they're going to do, right?
Yeah, right.
Nope.
Okay? The fact that they don't have to go down, and I know they travel, it's not like us. You know, they're not in Group B on Southwest. I get it, okay? But just the fact that you don't have to travel, that you don't have to do it.
Huge.
You're just staying at home, staying at Arrowhead, getting treatment around the clock. And you don't have to mess with it. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things work in the favor of the Chiefs. Every little thing matters. Every little thing matters when trying to get Mahomes as close to 100% as possible.
When you said that about your ankles, the different injuries you've had, and how you know that feeling when you're scared to have it looked at.
Yeah.
It made me, I'd almost forgotten about this. When I tore my ACL almost 17 years ago now, I didn't go to the doctor for 2 months. And
well,
I look back
excessive.
At how,
I look at
how stupid that was.
That seems wrong.
But I just didn't. I had just had ankle surgery like a month before, and I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with the reality that I'm going to have surgery again, and I'm going to be laid up for 6 months or more. And I just told myself, no, it's. And finally, like my brother-in-law said, he had torn his ACL but never got it fixed, and he said, you need to get that fixed. You need to go see a doctor. But the point, like, it's just sometimes you don't want to deal with the possible reality. And that whole, and I was glad because I was thinking, like, yeah, I'd pull Mahomes out of the game. But could you imagine being the one that goes, even Andy Reid going to Patrick Mahomes and saying, hey, you're going to sit down? You saw what that's like.
That was crazy.
And that's what you love about Mahomes. That's the competitor you're talking about there. I would not want to be the person to tell him, you're coming out of this game. You know, we're not letting you play anymore.
Well, that's Andy Reid.
He might be the one guy.
And Rick Burkholder.
You know, that could do that.
That'd be kind of weird if you asked Mahomes to stay out of the game, Nate.
Right.
I'm saying I'm trying to put myself in the coach's shoes, Marco.
You had Andy there and you had Rick Burkholder and they're telling him.
Yeah.
And you know,
I was glad they did
you're
that.
You're not going back in the game. That's fine.
Yeah.
You won't go back in the game. Until you get, so you might as well just go ahead and get this done. Just go do it.
Could you imagine if he had broken his leg and let him go out and play again?
You don't have to imagine very hard.
Shut up, dummy.
It was a very similar looking injury to what happened to Pollard with the Cowboys last night.
Yeah.
They kept referencing, oh, that looks just like what happened to Patrick Mahomes. And then you find out after the game he broke his leg and he has to have surgery. That could have gone a much different way. This is very lucky. And on top of that, the Bengals absolutely kicked the Bills' ass.
Ooh.
And that's fine. I think part of it, yes, the Bengals are very good, but part of that is the Bills, they were a flawed team living on borrowed time. And they got. And now you got Cincinnati coming to Arrowhead. Is it going to be difficult? Hell yes, it's going to be difficult. That team beat the Chiefs three times in a row with 100% Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, they ain't going to be scared of Arrowhead Stadium.
But the Chiefs ain't going to be scared either because they know they're a handful of plays away from beating this team. At some point, they're going to beat them. And it might as well be on Sunday. This is the other thing, too. These stupid freaking, if I see one more video about the Bengals being motivated because they were selling tickets already to the Bills and the Chiefs in Atlanta. Hey, moron. You were selling tickets to a possible AFC championship game in Cincinnati. Do you have any idea that was going on?
Those sons of...
Because if Jacksonville would have won and Cincinnati would have won, it would have been in Cincinnati, right?
That sounds
they were selling tickets for that.
That sounds like bulletin board material. They didn't believe in the Chiefs. That's bulletin board material right there.
I mean, whatever you can rally around, hey, go get your refund. You were doing it too. That's what you do. They were selling them in Cincinnati. I'm like, what are you mad about?
I like it, man.
Great. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. And it's not a game. This is true. I'm not just playing. The Chiefs can play the card. Nobody but thinks we're going to win. It's us against the world. Everybody's rooting against us. The Chiefs now are like the villains of the NFL. The Bengals and the Bills on Saturday night were teaming up. Their fans were having watch parties in Buffalo, rooting for Jacksonville to win. Great. I get it. How we always rooted against the Patriots. I get it. When you're the king, when you're the best team in the league, other teams root against you. But nobody wants the Chiefs to win. And now everyone assumes Cincinnati's going to win because they look so good against Buffalo, because Patrick Mahomes has a high ankle sprain, and the Bengals have won three in a row, including last year's AFC Championship game. Great. Count the Chiefs out. That's what you need to do. Count them out. Let that team be able to play that card that nobody thinks that they can win, because that's what the narrative is right now. That's a gift. Thank you. Back into this on WHB. Let's hear that sideline conversation from Patrick Mahomes. He talks about the conversation on the sideline with Andy Reid and Rick Burkholder when he was trying to stay in the game and avoid going back for x-rays, and we saw it play out on TV, what that conversation was like.
Yeah, I obviously didn't want to go back and see it. I didn't want to go get the x-rays or whatever it was. I wanted just to continue to play. I told him I would do it at halftime, but Coach, I mean, in the best interest of me, he made me go back there and get that x-ray before he put me back in the game. And for a while, I thought I could get and play through it, and then he said, I'm not putting you back in, so you might as well go get the x-ray, and then if it's negative or whatever, I'll put you back in. So I ran back there, got the x-ray, and was able to play finish the game.
How are you feeling now after the game's over, and how's the ankle feeling now?
I was just talking to him. It feels better. I mean, it feels better than I thought it was going to be now. Obviously, I have a lot of adrenaline going right now, so we'll see how it feels. But I'll hop right into treatment tonight and try to do whatever I can to be as close to 100% by next week. But luckily for us, we played the early game on Saturday, so we get an extra almost half a day that I can let that ankle rest.
I would so readily give you my ankle, Patrick Mahomes, but you don't want either one of my ankles. They are straight garbage. I can promise you that. Back after this on WHB.